On this episode of Vice Pilots NWT, Buffalo Joe has a meltdown over an operational screw-up.
T-shirt on top of it.
C-46 Captain Devin Brooks faces a tough decision over a job offer in Africa. And a Brit and his dog struggle to make it to a remote outpost to start a new life.
I feel like I'm in a Second World War movie.
February has turned into a busy month at Buffalo Airways. The staff is scrambling to prepare two firefighting CL-215 water bombers for delivery to Turkey, on the other side of the world. Company President Joe McBrien made the $7 million sale with the Turkish government weeks ago.
Thank you. Pleasure.
But the deal has one proviso. Deliver the planes by early March.
I was pretty happy that it went through and everything, and everyone was happy. On the other flip side is, now we got a very serious job to do.
The low-flying short-haul CL-215s are not made to traverse continents, especially not in frigid temperatures. They're used in summer to scoop water off lakes for firefighting. And then, there's the small matter of getting them across the stormy North Atlantic in winter. Once the boys leave Red Deer on the 215s, they'll cross Canada with stopovers in Winnipeg, Montreal, and St. John's. From there, the most dangerous leg of the journey to Turkey begins. A 2,200-kilometer flight across the Atlantic to the Azores, with nothing in between but open water.
And this isn't like your lake at your cottage water. This is rolling seas, high winds.
That's got Buffalo's mechanics working around the clock to turn these boats with wings into intercontinental aircraft.
We put a lot of time and effort into it, a lot of research, a lot of background, and this is one to watch very closely.
Good to go, boys!
But a big family event is making things even more complicated.
Well, my sister's getting married.
Sister Kathy's wedding isn't at the town hall. It's in Las Vegas.
Who we knew that had been to Turkey, who had flown
with
over.
Joe so focused on the water bomber contract, the rest of the McBrians are wondering if he'll be there to give Kathy away.
Well, he's been told he's going, and he's trying everything to come up with an excuse not to. Okay.
Mikey, on the other hand, is looking forward to the trip.
I went for lunch, and I got a freaking fortune cookie here. It says, need some adventure and enjoyment? Take a vacation.
Mikey's following his cookie's advice.
All I'm thinking right now is Las Vegas.
But that means making sure nothing falls through the cracks while he's gone.
Today's the day I got to train Sandy here to replace me. I'm heading down to Vegas tonight.
Sandy Sutton has been working at Buffalo long enough to be game for anything.
So first we'll talk to the airplane.
I'm asking.
Just what time you'll be down?
Yes, good morning, PNR. Just wondering what your ETA is.
Everything you got is on these keys. One's the ticket counter, one's the medic room.
It's a critical time to be away. Mikey is betting that preparations for the dangerous water bomber delivery to Turkey is well in hand. Enough, he hopes, for some fun in Vegas.
That's it.
Might as well take these.
Packing her up. I don't need a toque. This says Buffalo. My hat's Buffalo. Black t-shirt's Buffalo. Hoodie's Buffalo. Even my watch is Buffalo.
From the land of ice to the city of lights.
Here you go, 125. Holy f***. Holy shit. They got a f***ing sewing kit in here.
Hello.
Holy f***, what's this? Carly!
Hi, Mikey!
How's it going?
Oh, are we related?
Minos Applejuice.
Reminds you. 50 of our closest friends are running around looking for you guys.
Thank you, Skimmer. Bye-bye work, bye-bye yawn. And viva Las Vegas.
What happens in Vegas? Stays in Vegas.
Thank you, sir.
And Mikey's not thinking about what's happening back at Yellowknife.
It's why when you leave North of 60, it gets a little crazy.
The next morning, he's hungover and half awake when the office calls to confirm a booking. A customer is moving house and home to the tiny Arctic outpost of Pawlatuck the day after tomorrow. But right now, Mikey can barely tell the time.
Holy smokers.
Today's the day of the wedding. We're hoping it wasn't at noon. It's either noon or five.
And then, it's time for the wedding ceremony. Here comes the groom. Here comes the bride. And here's the father of the bride. Joe kept everyone guessing right up until the end.
No.
Do you take him as your husband?
It is Kathy Day, but we really want to celebrate it. So we will dance on these tables tonight. Clear glass, I hope.
I'm really happy you dressed up for the occasion. It means a lot.
The McBryans know how to party. But it seems that Mikey is all partied out. Back from a wild few days in Vegas, Mikey gets some bad news. There's a scheduling screw-up on the charter he booked, and Joe's not happy.
Had we paid attention to Buffalo, there wouldn't have been a pull-up in the charter. How long have we known about it? You can argue about it forever. It's a screw-up. We did one charter this month and screwed it up.
Before Vegas, Mikey sent two of Buffalo's top pilots south to Red Deer to stand by to fly the water bombers to Turkey, leaving no one available to fly the charter to Pawlatuck.
You know, that was supposed to be... You know what? The reason that thing's up there?
Yeah.
So we wouldn't go through this bullshit every day of maybe this, maybe that. But you guys are maybe not going to f*** off. Tired of this shit.
He's not in a good mood today. He yelled at me for 25 minutes. He leads by example. Example of giving people shit.
Now, Joe's taking charge of the situation, and that means another surprise trip. This time, south to Buffalo's hangar in Red Deer, Alberta.
Okay, Matt.
You can pull them out.
It's here that Buffalo pilots Arnie Schrader and Justin Simley are waiting to depart for Turkey on the CL-215 water bombers.
Just exciting for us, exciting for everybody. They've been trying to sell those airplanes for a while. And...
Though the planes are prepped and ready, Buffalo still hasn't received a $250,000 delivery fee from Turkey. So Joe's decreed that no one is going anywhere. And he's furious that Mikey sent Arnie and Justin to Red Deer to stand by when a pilot is needed now for the charter.
Do I need two? No.
I mean, I stood right outside there on my cell phone. I phoned and said, Dick, damn shirt uncovered before those two guys come out.
You know, here we are in Red Deer. There's somebody screwed up somewhere along the line.
We talked to Mike and, I thought it was arranged. They had enough coverage.
Well, thought doesn't mean shit.
Enough discussion. Joe takes action and pulls Justin out of Red Deer so he can fly the charter.
You guys have a good time. We'll see you later.
Still to come, the water bomber pilots prepare for the most dangerous journey of their lives. This morning, he was in Red Deer, Alberta. Now, Captain Justin Simley arrives in Hay River, Northwest Territories, 1,300 kilometers away. He's going to pilot a charter flight to the edge of the Arctic Ocean. At Buffalo Air, you have to be able to adapt to sudden changes.
I'm surprised to be here.
Justin came to Buffalo straight out of flight school. 8 years later, he has no plans to leave.
You know, it's a bit of a frontier in a way, and it's where the excitement comes in. It's exciting.
Who's this? This is Juno.
His charter passenger, Keith Dowling, is at a major turning point.
Can we get someone to grab that, maybe? And I'll look after the dog.
Although he grew up in Buckinghamshire, England, Keith settled in the Northwest Territories 20 years ago. For the past 9 years, he's been working at a charitable society in Fort Smith.
This is a huge, life-changing commitment as far as I'm concerned, where I'm moving from a place, my home of 20 years, to Pawlatuck.
Now, he's leaving Fort Smith, a town of 2,500 people, to become a housing manager in the remote Inuit community of Pawlatuck. Population, 250. It's a 7-hour flight from Hay River, north to Pawlatuck. But Keith and his dog Juno might not be going anywhere right now.
Forecast to be 45 knots out of the south-southwest, so I suspect if we carried on bravely, we'd probably get stuck in a nasty-ass Arctic storm up there, so...
Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
And you? Be nice to get somewhere, boys.
No kidding. Well, we could go up there and...
It's a bit... I've just spoken to Pawlatuck like right now. It's fairly clear now, but the wind is picking up, and there is a blizzard warning for later this afternoon.
Yeah, we're well aware of that. So it's going to be a few hours getting up there, and Pawlatuck is not a good place to go when it's when there's a blizzard happening. So I think we're going to sit tight today. It's supposed to clear up tomorrow, and we'll get going first thing in the morning. When are you available to leave tomorrow?
As soon as you are.
Yeah, he was a little frustrated. Maybe a little abrasive at first.
I should pick that up, Buffalo Airways, the Go Nowhere airline. For me, this is some like massive undertaking, right? I just want to get there and get the thing underway, right? Get my stuff unpacked.
You can understand the guy's point of view. I mean, he was gearing himself up for a big move, you know? Big change in his life. We'd get up there, and even if we'd get in the blizzard, the locals wouldn't come out to the airport. Nobody goes to the airport if there's a southwest wind over 15 knots.
I mean, that's windy, eh?
Because it throws a lot of turbulence, and there's been a few accidents up there because of it.
Pawlatuck's fierce southwest wind is legendary. No one knows the dangers of the north better than that old bush pilot, Buffalo Joe McBrien.
It's extremely turbulent in there. Airplanes become almost uncontrollable, which is very rare for airplanes to be uncontrollable in wind. Nobody's been able to explain to me, and I've asked a lot of the experienced people around there, how come I can control my airplane any other wind, but this one seemed to just be too violent for me.
The Inuit residents of Pawlatuck believe a bad spirit is to blame. And Joe is not so sure they're wrong.
Well, the myth has led to airplanes not making it, getting caught up in that wind and busting themselves.
The locals believe that, it's a bad omen. There's been a few airplanes that have crashed there in that wind shear.
And Keith is anxious to get to Pawlatuck, but the move will have to wait at least one more day.
We're not going to mess around with that storm up there. And hopefully it clears up in the morning.
What can you do? Not much.
Back in Yellowknife, it's a special day for Buffalo Shipping Assistant Janelle Glenn.
It's my birthday. My 21st birthday.
Got the blankie?
Janelle's getting treated to a day of dog sledding, thanks to her boyfriend, Buffalo Captain Devin Brooks.
Spoiler today, and I don't have to do it again for a long time.
And we're off. See ya.
The couple met when Janelle started working at Buffalo a few months ago.
We started dating and here we are. She's living here. That's it.
He just likes me the way that I am, and he's very smart and funny.
At 28, Devin's the youngest captain of the C-46, the toughest plane to fly in Buffalo's fleet.
Different airplane to fly than anything I've flown. It's one of the hardest to fly in the world, so it gives you self-satisfaction that I did go captain on it. I'll take that to the next job.
And Devin's not wasting any time.
I'm ready for something new. My dream is to make captain at a major airline. And I know I will eventually.
But first, he's lined up an interview for a job flying for the UN in Africa.
Going to Africa and flying over there is just a different adventure I would like to do before the major airline.
If he wants it, then that's good. He just has to make sure that he knows that he wants it, you know?
And Devin doesn't seem to want to stay in the North.
I think he'll miss it when he leaves. And right now, he probably just doesn't know that yet.
She needs to do what she wants to do and make her own life, and what happens between her and I. Like I say, time will tell.
Soon enough, Devin's off to Vancouver tomorrow for the job interview. It's early morning at the Hay River Airport.
Oh man, that sucks.
And Justin Simley, the captain of Buffalo's charter flight to the remote village of Pawlituck, isn't liking the latest weather report.
It's calling it locally half mile and blowing snow. Winds out of the south at 25 knots. It's too windy. Visibility's too low.
The only storm in the entire Arctic is right over his destination.
We're trying to get it done here, but the weather doesn't seem to be cooperating, so.
Buffalo Joe checks in before he heads to Yellowknife for the day.
This afternoon it's supposed to be good, and tomorrow is good on the public forecast.
It'll be tomorrow.
Are you comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah, I do it.
Okay.
Instead of waiting out the storm in Hay River, Justin decides to fly to the town of Norman Wells up the Mackenzie Valley. That should get them within striking distance of Pawlituck.
You know, at least if we make it to the Wells, we're 2 hours away as opposed to 6 or 7, eh? So that's why we're doing this.
Justin gives co-pilot Sean Barry the go-ahead to prep the plane for takeoff. The DC-3 is credited with opening up passenger plane service in the 1930s. It proved itself in all kinds of conditions. In war, on remote airstrips, over jungles, deserts, and tundra. After a day's delay, passenger Keith Dowling is relieved to finally get going.
Well, at least we're going somewhere today. We'll be a lot closer, and the whole point, according to the captain, is we should, even if we only get a little opening, we get straight in there.
I think he was happy to be on the move, you know, to just get out of Hay River and get at least a little bit closer to his new home.
On this charter flight, the expat Brit is moving house and home to a tiny Inuit outpost on the edge of the Arctic Ocean.
Everybody I know, my friends and people, think I'm quite mad to be going somewhere like Pawlituck. I didn't want to go there completely alone, so I figured I'd take my dog.
She ain't gonna like this.
Good.
Come here. You did good. Now don't get off. Get off, Mom. Come here.
I'm just wondering if she needs to go to the toilet because she may be nerves. Come here, Gino. Ah.
coming up. It's all systems go for the water bomber crews. But a new problem grounds them.
I don't know what to tell you there. We got to get in hangar. That's the big problem.
In Yellowknife, there's good news. Buffalo Flight Ops Director Mike Hanley has just received the delivery fee he's been waiting for from the Turkish government. Now the water bombers can set off overseas.
With that paperwork, we're fully approved, and the guys in Render have been notified this morning.
But it's still not a go. Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader has a new obstacle to overcome.
I don't know what to tell you there. We got to get in the hangar. That's the big problem.
I sent you that sheet yesterday saying there's no space until Monday, so if they get us...
They can't leave Red Deer until Sandy Sutton at head office can find hangar space for the CL-215 water bombers in Winnipeg. Their first stop on the Cross Canada flight.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Like, that's Arnie. That's the head guy. He's fighting with me. Like, we got to get these planes. We can't go. And it's like, well, Arnie, I can only do what you can do, right? He's fighting with me saying they got to have two hangar spaces. But I've been telling these guys all along, there is not two hangar spaces like that.
They said no. She's still working on it.
Arnie talks it over with lead mechanic Corey Dodd.
Yeah, one's no good. We have to have both in.
Yeah, it's going to take over half a day to warm it up, eh?
Yeah. Of course, these airplanes are designed for summertime operations, and we're doing this in a winter environment.
Normally, the 215 only flies in the summer months, fighting fires. This slow-flying boat with wings can scoop up 1,400 gallons of water in just 10 seconds. To get the water bombers to their new owner in Turkey, Buffalo must fly them there now, in February. But they're not winter planes. The 215s are vulnerable to extreme cold.
These airplanes are not designed to be parked in those type of temperatures. You have to get them in a hangar to make them operate properly.
And I'm just wondering if you might be able to have room for a couple of CL-215s.
If Sandy can't find two hangar spots to keep the water bombers warm after their first leg of the journey, there won't be any journey at all.
So 95% booked almost everywhere. Different places have enough room for one plane, but they don't have room for two.
With just 21 days left to get the planes to Turkey as contracted, this sale could already be in jeopardy. His friends think he's crazy, but now there's no turning back for Keith Dowling. Traveling on board a Buffalo Airways DC-3, he's moving himself, his dog Juno, and all his worldly goods to take a job in Pawlituk, a remote Inuit village of 250 souls.
We could reasonably describe the experience as rustic. A friend of mine actually said to me, whatever you do, take a plastic bag with you. He said, because if the worst happens, you need to puke or take a piss, or if you absolutely can't help yourself, it's either shit your pants or jump out of the plane. He said, you'll be glad you took one of these.
It will take 5 hours just to get to a stopover in Norman Wells. So Keith moves up to the cockpit to chat with Captain Justin Simley.
So how are you feeling? You feeling good about the move to Pawlituk?
Oh, I'm up for it. And, you know, obviously when you leave your home of 20 years, that's going to be that full smooth, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're leaving some people behind. You're leaving some friends behind. You're leaving all your comfort zone behind.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Pawlituk is actually really beautiful in the summer. The land around it turns green. And every time I've been there, you know, it's the reception has been warm. So I think you're going to enjoy living there. As long as you can get out every now and again, you know.
Yeah, as I said, well, I'll be out and get out and on business and two or three times to see my psychiatrist.
Yeah, well, like I said, if you get there for two or three days and you want to walk out, just phone us, we'll come get you. Don't walk back to Fort Smith.
Keith has no intention of walking out. He just wants to get there and get settled in. In Vancouver, Buffalo's youngest captain, Devin Brooks, is cleaned up and dressed to impress. instead of being home in Yellowknife with his girlfriend Janelle, he has a job interview with an airline that flies for the UN in Africa.
Yeah, this is a big one. This is 747.
He's kept quiet about it at Buffalo in case things don't go as planned.
You could blow it, say something stupid. They might not like you just for who your personality is. You might not get offered the job you want.
In Yellowknife, Mikey's already on to him.
He's leaving for 2 days in the middle of the week, and he didn't give an explanation. He just say he wants 2 days off. And usually what that means is that someone's leaving to do an airline interview. I'm not saying that Devin's doing it, it's just I've seen it before.
You don't really want to make it known that you're looking to get out before you're actually out.
Still, after 2 years in the frozen north, Devin is looking for something new.
I'd gladly trade in them snow pants and parka and beaver pelt of a hat or whatever they're called for a suit and tie and a pair of dress shoes. I'd trade that in pretty soon.
I do really want this job. I'm thinking of it as a stepping stone, just like Buffalo was.
And for now, Devin's trying not to think about the impact this job in Africa would have on his relationship with Janelle. He's taking things one step at a time. High above the Mackenzie Valley, Justin and Keith are already thinking about their next step.
Hey, you think it's looking good for us to get over the line today?
Geez, I sure hope so. It's tough for me to tell because nobody's picking up the phone in politics, and that doesn't give me a good feeling, you know, when nobody's at the airport and they should be there. 95107 on profile, showing 750 down.
After a five-hour flight, they make it to the settlement of Norman Wells.
Rep plus two.
Justin needs to check on the weather over Pawlatuck. Maybe it's cleared up enough for them to continue on today. Keith and Juno have more urgent needs to take care of.
What my dog is saying is, never mind that, I've got to go to the toilet. Juno. Good girl.
Keith hopes this is just a short pit stop.
Keith, my good man.
Super, I've never been in an air traffic control place. Hello, air traffic controller.
Keith is moving to Pawlatuck.
Very slowly.
We're just looking at the Pawlatuck weather, and it's still windy as hell. It's still 27 knots. So
right.
Pretty high to be going in there, but it is smartening up. I mean, it's come down about 20, 30 knots from what it was. Doesn't look like the storm's going to let up today, so...
I mean, good for us tomorrow morning, probably early.
We'll call her a day at that and try it in the morning.
A bed for the night is in order.
Go.
Coming up, Justin and Keith look for shelter.
It's a f***ing ghost town.
But the crew is left out in the cold. In Yellowknife, Janelle Glenn is waiting to hear from her boyfriend Devin about his interview for a job in Africa. Her roommate and Buffalo co-pilot Scott Blue remembers when Janelle arrived in town.
She shows up, and before she shows up, her auntie's like, "Ooh, Scott, you're going to have to meet my niece. She's coming up. She's young. She's beautiful. You like her so much." I'm like, "Cool. I go on vacation. I come back. Devin beat me to the punch."
But it's Scott who's spending Valentine's Day with Janelle, although her mind is elsewhere.
I'm going to call Devin. See how his interview went, and hopefully he answers or shut off his cell phone if he's still in the interview. Mm. Hey, Devin, it's me. Just give me a call when you're done your interview or whatever you're doing. Okay, love you, bye.
The interview's over, and Devin's facing a big decision.
They offered me something that I need to think about. A job in the Congo, Sudan, or Uganda. One of the three. Oh, I'm excited, but I... got thinking to do now, so I've already started that.
He's got a four-hour flight to consider his options, and just a few minutes before he boards to let Janelle know how it went.
He got a job in Africa. He won't tell me
what airplane or anything, but he doesn't sound excited. I thought he'd be more excited or something, but...
Africa's a long way from Yellowknife.
Wandering the streets of Norman Wells, Justin, Keith, and the crew are discovering that there are only a few hotels in town.
It's a f***ing ghost town.
I've never been here for the winter.
And it seems none are open year-round.
What do you want to do there, Chief?
What's the next one?
Oh, I don't know.
I would need a f***ing ride.
Finally, after a frustrating search, success.
Cozy, to say the least.
Sort of.
That's it, man.
This is what it looks like. It ain't a lot for $2.29, is it? One of the other hotels we tried, we go to, they're not even serving lunch today, because it's Saturday. Makes some sense of that. But they are serving supper tonight, but it's only one menu, and it's the Valentine's menu.
They had the tables all set up, you know, all the couples were having dinner in there, dressed up in their suits, and we kind of come walking in our oil-stained and Carhartts, stinking like avgas, you know, and sweat. It was pretty funny.
Cheers to that.
And,
it's a pleasure to meet you, Keith.
Yeah.
I can think of 100 other places I'd rather be on Valentine's Day.
They're all smiles now, but the honeymoon will be over if they're still stuck here tomorrow. It's a new day and another chance for Justin and the DC-3 crew to get their passengers, Keith and Juno the dog, to their new home in Politeuch.
The biz is up now. It's 8 miles, so it's come up from a mile and a half this morning. So,
the storm over the tiny Inuit town on the edge of the Arctic Ocean is dying down. This could be the window of opportunity that Justin has been waiting for.
It's not perfect conditions, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was yesterday, and it's doable.
Hopefully we actually get into the air and get to Politeuch.
Gets his first glimpse of Politeuch, where his new life is about to begin.
Nothing on the strip.
Well, obviously we just circled the runway to make sure it was clear. Like it's been recently plowed. I've got a little glimpse of the hamlet town. Couldn't see much else.
The reality of this life-changing move is hitting Keith.
Well, I mean, I hope I take to Politeuch. I hope I take to the people of Politeuch, and likewise they take to me. That would be a very nice situation.
Final check. 75 or 79. Final check. Not bad. It's pretty cold.
Yeah. You're getting off in a minute. Come here. If I can disembark without dislocating myself. Whoa, Gina.
The local people come out to greet the new arrivals.
Very nice to meet you.
What's the dog?
Hey, no jumping. The dog's name's Juno. Thank you, boys.
Pleasure, man. Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, anytime.
A very, very interesting 4 days.
Couple of days.
5 days. Well done.
Right on.
See you guys.
Take care.
Yeah. Fire hole. That goes in the bedroom, too.
I think his reaction was maybe a little bit nervous, but mostly excited and relieved that he was finally there.
That's what the North's all about, is meeting new people and new beginnings and a bit of an adventure. One of the last frontiers, you know. That's why all those guys are up here.
Mission completed. Justin's flown to the frozen edge of the Arctic Ocean. Now, his mind turns to his next mission, flying water bombers on an even longer, more dangerous journey across the Atlantic Ocean to Turkey.
Great to get the job done. Then your mind switches into Turkey mode. That was the next thing.
Coming up, Devin returns home with his mind made up. Returning to Buffalo HQ in Yellowknife, Captain Devin Brooks has had a change of heart about the job offer to fly for the UN in Africa.
The interview was good, but then I got thinking about it on the way back, and that wasn't the job for me. I'd rather stay in Canada.
I think it was a hard decision for him to turn down the job, but I don't think he was ready to leave here anyway. I'm glad that he decided to stay, for sure.
I'm happy. Not taking the job in Africa with the other company is no big deal. I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
So Devin's not going anywhere, for now. And neither is Janelle.
Here we are, in the Hacienda in Red Deer.
After flying a charter to the Arctic Ocean and back, Captain Justin Simley joins the rest of the Buffalo crew destined for Turkey.
They did get her in the barn, right on.
By contract, Buffalo only has 3 weeks left to deliver the water bombers. Problem is, they still haven't found a hangar to house the planes at their first overnight stop in Winnipeg.
Basically, if we can't find hangar space, then we can't leave the airplanes outside to freeze up.
We started them in the cool, the engines will start. But it'll bust those lines, got frozen oil, and it'll bust those coolers out in the wing. So that's one of the big problems.
Hey, Mike, Sandy around? Thanks.
Justin jumps right into the hangar issue. He calls Sandy at Buffalo HQ for an update.
Hey, Sandra, how are you? I'm here and you're working hard. What do we got? Where's the hope? You are tenacious, that is for sure. All right.
Arnold. We got hangers in Winnipeg.
Oh, we got them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Air Canada will take one for sure.
Okay. Kelly Western?
Kelly Western may or may not, but if they don't, Air Canada will put the other one in. They got a jet going out at midnight. They'll throw it in.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, it was looking pretty sour there for a minute, but, things are picking up. It'd be nice to get the show on the road for sure.
Flying the two planes to Turkey will gobble up over 60,000 liters of fuel. Now that the Turks have paid up, Buffalo Joe's got gas money.
$32,000. Got her all now, so we can go back to the airport and divide up among the boys.
It's too much pressure for one guy to carry $30,000 in his pocket. You know, if he loses it, then all the guys are mad at him, eh?
I got $4,000 apiece for everybody here to...
We can't spend that $4,000. That's your gas.
We'll be burning it in the life raft to keep warm.
Yeah.
The guys can joke about the dangers, but this trip is not to be taken lightly.
The North Atlantic's very difficult this time of year to fly over. There's all kinds of lows in there. And, you know, it's very difficult to get across. Their temperatures are, 30 to 40 below.
Weather's a huge thing. It's just real important when you're going on a trip like that. Everything has to be right, because if you screw something up, things can go very bad very quickly.
Justin will be flying with Arnie. The other water bomber will be flown by Dave Poole from Red Deer, and George Fury just arrived from Newfoundland.
Well, I gotta get a hot drop of coffee, man.
Also arriving today is Buffalo's cargo manager, Kelly Jurasovic.
Bring it on.
She's flown in from Yellowknife to give the boys a proper send-off on this dangerous journey.
It's beer o'clock, my honey.
Kelly's been at Buffalo just over a year. During that time, she's forged a strong friendship with Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader.
He's 66, but he's my buddy, He took me under his wing when I got here, and he's my, one of my best friends. And I'm fortunate to know him.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
Hey, cool.
So Kelly wants to say goodbye to Arnie and the crew in person.
Hi, nice to meet you.
This is a long trip for Arnie, especially at his age, too, That concerns me.
Well, you look pretty good in your laps.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's a bit worried, but I don't think he's, you know, letting everybody know that. Arnie? Good luck on your trip. And good luck, you guys, on your trip. I'm glad I got to be here and see you guys before you got to take off.
And after chewing out his pilots just days ago, Joe is feeling good about the team he's put together for this daring adventure.
You look at all the different aspects of the background of all these guys. I don't think there could be a better crew assembled to do a job like we're going to start on right now.
Well, I'll miss you guys.
He said he's going to miss you.
Yeah.
Coming up, an emotional send-off for the crew of the CL-215 water bombers. With 3 weeks to deliver a pair of CL-215 water bombers to Turkey, the two Buffalo flight crews gear up for the journey of their lives. The first water bomber will be flown by two of Buffalo's best, Arnie Schrader and Justin Simley.
Justin and I have flown along together a lot. He worked with me on 215s for a few years. And so it's just natural for us.
Their in-flight mechanic will be Corey Dodd. Mechanics Norm Byrne and Matt Belanger will be in the second 215, piloted by Dave Poole and George Fury.
It's an adventure for all of us to do this.
All right.
Type of a trip.
We'll get them later.
Yeah, we'll get another shot.
For those left behind, like Kelly Jurasovic, it's a difficult goodbye.
Take it easy.
Be careful.
Oh, yes, we will.
I love you so much.
We'll be good.
See you there. I'm sure we're all just going to be sweating until we get the phone call that they made it. You know, cause it's a long trip for those guys. Long trip.
Smiled.
Yeah, I got you.
All clear on my side.
Tiger 299 left 1, go. All ready for taxi takeoff, sir. Tiger 299 left 1, hold short of Charlie.
I'm worried about Arnie and Justin going to Turkey, and I think they're real damn brave to do that for Joe. I just hope they make it safe and everybody's okay.
Preparing behind them. Now, it's finally time to fly.
Tower confirmed 299 plus one's clear for takeoff.
Tiger 299, clear takeoff. 31 right, turn out.
Tiger 4 rolling.
Next episode of Ice Pilots NWT. The feds shut down Buffalo's flagship service.
This is a nervous suspension for your flight.
Wannabe pilot Ramon faces a life-changing decision.
I'm totally confused.
That could scuttle his friend Jeremy's dreams, too. And the water bomber crews face danger on a daring wintertime flight across Canada.
We can't see with the weather ahead of us.